Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. My website is www.jbsba.com. I'm excited about having Dr. Ron Hira on the show, ladies and gentlemen. He and Anil Hira have written a book called Outsourcing America. And this is a topic that's very interesting to me, very important topic that I think needs to be debated and needs to be debated honestly. And I know he's here to do that. He is assistant professor at public policy at Rochester Institute of Technology. And as I say, the co-author of Outsourcing America. Ron, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Jim.
It's good to have you here. First, I want to get a couple of things out on the table, Ron. As I mentioned to you off the air, I'm a free trader. And I'm going to assume that you're not against free trade, but you are concerned, I know, about what's going on. I've been through your book, and you're concerned about the outsourcing of America, what you call the outsourcing of America. But you actually define it as a problem, don't you?
Yeah, I think what's important to note here is that it's both good and bad. You know, there's definitely benefits, but there are also negative effects. And the reality is that the benefits and the cost are not evenly or equally distributed amongst the different players, and that's why you're having a political debate.
But isn't the fact that it's not evenly distributed an evolutionary thing rather than the way it's developed? I mean, isn't this something that just needs time to evolve?
I don't think so. I think it's a little bit more complicated than that. And the reason I say that is that basically what's going on is U.S. companies are now pitting U.S. workers against foreign workers and competing them head-to-head. And what U.S. companies are doing is they're taking the latest tools and technologies to that foreign labor instead of importing it like they did in the past.
Mm-hmm. Well, the globalization to me... Well, and I have said this, I've written this, Ron, and you may think this is also an oversimplification, but I think that we're in an accelerated period of our journey of intellectual property, which I believe began, the acceleration really began 500 years ago with the development of the press, Gutenberg's press. And I consider this intellectual property journey to be heating up right now, and I consider globalization to be the trade manifestation of our intellectual property journey. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's a good observation. The question is how we proceed and how we shape this, and do we do it in a way that is reasonable for people? In the end, we still live in a nation state. We live in the U.S., and the question is this a good deal for everybody in the U.S., or is it a good deal for a certain select few?
Some people say that we should stop outsourcing. We shouldn't do any of this. We should protect our borders, et cetera, et cetera. I don't, from reading your book and from hearing you speak, Ron, I don't see you as one of those people. I see you looking for solutions.
That's right. I think the
you're more pragmatic about this, aren't you?
Well, I hope so, and I hope that the book, you know, the book's really written for the layperson. It's not written for the expert or the academic.
I agree with that.
And the point of the book is really to highlight some of the negative effects and also highlight the fact that we've done nothing to address the negative effects, to mitigate those negative effects, and that we need to do that in order to reap the benefits, because otherwise there's going to be a backlash. And, you know, like I said earlier, to think about the distributional effects and whether this is a good deal for U.S. workers or not.
Well, one of the things that I think is unfortunate, Ron, is the bad rap that outsourcing has gotten, and I don't consider I think outsourcing is a term that has, well, let me put it this way, outsourcing is the best thing that ever happened to small businesses, in its broad definition, not just, you know, outsourcing overseas, but the concept of outsourcing, the practice of outsourcing, to stick to your knitting, to be good at your core competencies and let other people contribute to your operation, your business, by being good at what they do. I think that's a good thing. It's the best thing that ever happened to small business.
Well, I don't disagree with that at all. In fact, I think it specialization and the division of labor makes a lot of sense. And when we talk about outsourcing America, we're really talking about the transfer of work from the U.S. to overseas, not from a in-house operation to a supplier, really, which is what outsourcing is.
Stand by, Ron. When we come back, folks, I'm going to ask Ron, what's the difference then in outsourcing? You know, isn't the difference just technology between being able to outsource across town and outsourcing across the globe? We'll be right back with Dr. Ron Hira, author of Outsourcing America. Stay with us.
When you wake up in the morning and the light is hurt.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great discussion with our new friend, Dr. Ron Hira. And that's the last name is spelled H-I-R-A, if you want to Google him, or if you're going to look him up in on Amazon or any of the online bookstores, or if you're looking for his book in the bookstores. The book is called Outsourcing America, What's Behind That, Our National Crisis, and How We Can Reclaim American Jobs. He and his brother, Anil, who goes by Andy, wrote the book. There's a foreword by Lou Dobbs, by the way. Ron, Lou Dobbs has been doing a lot of programming on Outsourcing America, and as you know. And I actually consider Lou Dobbs to be dangerous on this issue. I don't consider you to be, because you're obviously, I think, a lot more intellectually honest about this. You actually, you know, are looking for the solutions. The reason that I say this about Lou Dobbs, and I've been trying to get him on the show for a long time to come clean with him about this, and that is that he only seems to program the bad stuff. He doesn't talk about the benefits. There are some benefits in outsourcing jobs overseas. For one thing, when we're importing things that are less expensive, the quality of life of Americans goes up.
Yeah, it can.
The standard of living goes up, doesn't it?
Well, that's actually not clear. It's much more uncertain than most people would realize. Trade, you know, and we believe in trade and economic integration makes a lot of sense. But the reality is, trade doesn't always make you better. And in fact, this is true both in economic theory as well as in reality. Nobel Prize winner Paul Samuelson wrote an article last year, basically calling out a lot of the people who've said that outsourcing is good, necessarily good, were wrong. And they've had to backtrack because he wrote this article. So it's not always a guarantee.
But the antagonist of trade is protectionism, isn't it?
Well, I think you got to be a little bit careful about what protectionism is. I mean, is it protectionist when we invest in research and development, or we subsidize education? Is that protectionist? If you define it in certain ways, sure, it is protectionist. And if you think about companies, in the 1980s, we had a competitiveness debate. We had manufacturing decline in autos and steel, but also in semiconductors. And those CEOs went to Washington asking really for protection, both in terms of voluntary export restraints from Japan, as well as subsidies. Semitech was created. We basically gave $500 million a year to the semiconductor industry to do research and development. That's clearly protectionism. So lots of businesses will go after protectionism when it's convenient for them.
Well, I don't disagree with you about that, but there are a lot of people out there who think we should protect American jobs at all costs. And of course, as you know, I mean, I think you'd agree with me that that's what got us into the Great Depression. The Smoot-Hawley tariffs got us into the Great Depression. Most people consider that to be the case. But small businesses in generations past, small businesses outsourced jobs or work across town or across the county or across the state. Now, because of technology, they have the ability to do that overseas, to find a more competitive price on things, to allow them to be competitive in the greater marketplace because they can do this. I actually had a young lady on the show last week who has a tiny small business, 7 employees, only 3.5 years old, and she's getting some manufacturing done overseas that she couldn't get done effectively and efficiently here in the United States, and it's allowed her to grow her small business. What's bad about that?
Clearly, that's a good thing for her and for the company. Is it good for the U.S. overall? Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. And I don't think we should really be focused on that.
But see,
it's a reality, and it's something that the companies need to be aware of, and they're acting rationally. She's doing what's in the cards.
Acting rationally. I like the way you said that because I think that's what free trade is to me. It's acting rationally. But the thing is, Ron, she's created 7 jobs, whereas if she had had to have done her manufacturing in the U.S., she would have none of those jobs, and okay, she didn't use the jobs that the manufacturing would have produced in the United States, but it actually is going to allow her to be bigger than I think those jobs that were lost. And so I think what's happening, it seems to me, Ron, what's happening is where the marketplace is realigning. We're frightened about that. We don't know how to deal with it. I know that we're not doing enough to get our workers ready for 21st century jobs. What do you think about that?
Well, it's not only not getting them ready, but I think we're giving them misinformation. I think a lot of companies have been giving them misinformation
misinformation look like?
Well, the people who are advocating and saying that outsourcing is always good and only good are saying that there's lots of jobs out there. The reality is there aren't that many jobs out there, and it's not clear that if we destroy $70,000 a year engineering jobs and computer science jobs, where those folks will then find new jobs. And that's a real problem.
Well, I certainly don't think outsourcing, I would never say outsourcing is always the right thing to do, but I like the word you use. I think rational is the proper word to use.
That's right, and you have both companies acting rationally. They're trying to save money, improve their bottom line. That's what they're that's a reason for being is to try to improve their bottom line. But workers are also acting rationally when they're saying, hey, this is a raw deal for us, because they know that there aren't good jobs out there if they're displaced.
Don't forget, folks, there's not only outsourcing, it's insourcing. Of course, when you're from another country and a plant's moving to the United States, it's not called insourcing over there. It's called outsourcing over there. When we come back, I'm going to ask Ron, what kind of a peace dividend could outsourcing provide? Tim Till, stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 7:10. I'm Jim Lessingham, a small business advocate. We're having a great visit with our new friend, Dr. Ron Hira. He's assistant professor of public policy at Rochester Institute of Technology. His book, he and his brother Anil have written a book called Outsourcing America. It's a very good book, very intellectually honest, I might say. Ron, I got to say that I know that you're over on another side of this debate more than I am. I really am more of a free trader. I think you want to be, but you also want to make sure that it's fair. And I can appreciate that. I do too. But I have to say that your book is it has an attitude, but it is intellectually honest, and I appreciate that about it. Can you tell us where the book's available, please?
Sure. The book's available if you just do a search on my last name, Hira, H-I-R-A, on Amazon.com. It's also available on BarnesandNoble.com, as well as in bookstores.
Okay. Thank you for that. One of my favorite people in history is Frederick Bastiat. I know you know who he is. I call him the great French economist and comedian. He always made his points with a lot of humor. But he said one time very seriously, and I'm paraphrasing just a little bit because I like the way this sounds. He says, and I agree with him, when goods cross borders, armies don't. If I'm trading with a person, which I'm more likely to do, individuals are more likely to trade with each other in the 21st century than corporations were in the 20th century, Ron, I believe. And if I know somebody and I'm trading with somebody in another country, I'm not likely to hate them and to want to fight with them. And I don't think that there's any example of where one democracy has attacked another democracy. Isn't there an inherent peace dividend in free trade?
There's no doubt that there's a lot of positives to this, and that is an important point, and it's one that that should be highlighted. On the other hand, we should also realize that as we offshore and we outsource many of our technology jobs, it also creates some problems from a national security point of view. It's no accident that MIT and engineering colleges in the U.S. are the top in the world. The reason is because the Department of Defense has funded many of these engineering schools for many years. So we also have to see some of the downsides, too, as we offload our technology. And technological catch-up happens very rapidly. We underestimated how quickly the Russians would get the atomic bomb and Sputnik, and I think we're going to see China catch up very quickly here.
Well, there's no question about it. I mean, if we were concerned about the Japanese, it was fairly unfounded. But any concern we have about the Chinese, and when I say concern, I don't mean from a danger standpoint, just from a competitive standpoint. But you know, Ron, in my long career in the marketplace, I've never seen competition be a bad thing. It's always a good thing.
Well,
now we have global competition, not just local competition.
It leads to lower prices, to innovation. Joseph Schumpeter, the great economist, talked about creative destruction. So it's clearly very good. The question is, who wins in that competition? And if other countries win, we're going to lose some wealth. We're going to lose some jobs.
Isn't this like watching a baseball season or a basketball season? You win some and you lose some.
I don't know if that's necessarily clear. I mean, let me give you a concrete example in companies. IBM decided to outsource. That means not offshore, but outsource two critical components in its personal computer. One, the microprocessor to Intel.
Right.
And secondly, the operating system to Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
And it believed that it kept the core capabilities, the critical components. And what happened was that Microsoft and Intel basically won a large amount of wealth and a large amount of jobs.
But look at look at the jobs that were created from that. Look at the wealth that was created from that.
Right, but that was in America. Now, if we outsource those kinds of things overseas, are those next companies going to be created overseas? And will that wealth accrue to those countries instead of to the U.S.?
Well, if it helps those companies be more competitive in selling their products here in the United States, I mean, you know, some jobs are lost, but some jobs are created.
That's right, and we have to look at both sides of the ledger.
Now we come back to my first statement was, aren't we in an evolutionary process? And what we've got to do is make sure that our people are prepared for the 21st century. I think that's where the crux of the problem is right now. You got 20 seconds.
I totally agree with that, and the problem is that we're not doing anything about this.
Right, I agree.
So we're not adjusting or adapting.
If the Democrats had addressed this issue with the last election, Kerry would be in the White House right now.
Well, I think he did a very poor job.
He did a very poor job.
CEOs, you know.
Ron, I got to stop you because we're running out of time. But we got a lot more to talk about. Will you come back another day?
I'd love to.
Dr. Ron Hira, ladies and gentlemen. Hira, I should say. I'm sorry. He and his brother, Anil Hira, have written a book, Outsourcing America. It's a good one. I recommend it to you. We'll get him back again real soon. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll see you later. I'm out of here today.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.